Hey everybody, this is Keith Caulfield
and Katie Atkinson
of the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, and you're listening to Billboard's Pop Shop Feed.
Because the Pop Shop family is growing, and now we've got new weekly shows in our Pop Shop Feed, in addition to the main Pop Shop Podcast.
If you subscribe to the Pop Shop, you'll get not just the Pop Shop Podcast, but also a show dedicated to reviewing the newest tunes, must-hear music, as well as a retro show that celebrates important anniversaries in music, coming around again.
Coming up next is Must Hear Music, where this week, Billboard senior editor Joe Lynch and his panel of experts will break down Kendrick Lamar's new album, Power Bottom's latest single, and much more.
So be sure to subscribe to the Pop Shop feed in iTunes so you never miss any of our pop-centric shows, and give us a rating or review to let us know how much you're enjoying each segment of Pop Shop.
And now, Must Hear Music.
Hello, and welcome to the Must Hear Music podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's going on, man?
As well as Lindsay Havens.
Hey.
And just one before we dive in, going to do a little quick rundown of what we're talking about today. So we're going to be looking at Kendrick Lamar just dropped an album, Damn, all caps, period.
Damn.
So we're going to look at the song DNA from that. We are going to look at Power Bottom's new song, LOL. Noah Cyrus's Stay Together, Chris Stapleton's Broken Halos, Becky Hill's Rude Love, and Trapper Shep's On Wisconsin. Pretend I didn't say it that way. All right, but let's go to the big one that like everyone's talking about.
Noah Cyrus.
Noah Cyrus.
I was gonna say the Wisconsin song.
Yeah. KDOT, so Damn is out. So Lindsay, this was your pick, so do you want to talk a little bit about the album or the song or even both?
Well, I'll start with the song. It's the one that I keep going back to just because I think it sort of has the beats of old Kendrick, like his debut album, but with the lyrics of new Kendrick in terms of like hitting hard and being really relevant. Whereas like for me, the rest of the album, which is all great and deserves all the acclaim it's getting, it's just a lot more R&B than mm-hmm. hip-hop, in my opinion. The lyrics hit hard, but the beats and the production don't, in my professional take. What do you think? I always
go to Justin for the album?
Jason times of these, yeah. I just called you Justin.
That's fine. I get that sometimes. I get a lot of Jay. I get a lot of some Justin.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wild ride I'm on. Anyway, so I'm glad you picked DNA. I think it might be my favorite song on the album. The thing about... Do you disagree?
No, I'm just whistling. I like to do a whistle for emphasis.
That's fine.
Oh, great.
I think it's a fun
The thing about I was listening. I've listened to this album twice now, and we're recording this on Friday, and I'm sure I'll listen to it more again as this weekend as my family's coming over for Easter. And
because what else would you play?
Yeah, this is a good like Easter egg hunt sort of thing. I feel like when they do the Easter egg roll at the White House, they're definitely going to be playing Kendrick Lamar's "Damn" the whole time.
Yeah.
Because
they love Fox News there, so, and this features Fox News on several tracks, so
that's true.
Yeah.
So the thing about Kendrick and my relationship with him is he's clearly like such a brilliant rapper and lyricist and so thoughtful in the way he constructs albums, and mm-hmm. I think that's his overarching thing. It's really interesting. How there's this kind of juxtaposition of like he commits so much to concepts mm-hmm. for his own body of work, whether it's To Pimp a Butterfly, how it had this whole through line of the Tupac interview that came at the end and going back to this repeated phrase over and over in that album. Obviously Good Kid, Mad City is kind of a concept album about the highs and lows of growing up in the streets, and this album obviously is him wrestling with fame and faith, and I say juxtaposition is he has this clear commitment to concept for each of these projects, and then you have him like his guest verse are so like, I'll just do this Maroon 5 song for fun. I'll just do this like Imagine Dragons collaboration for fun. It's funny how he can compartmentalize, and it within that, like when he does do a project like this, it's so obvious that he's not really concerned about radio and like scoring singles and really putting out like a big hit anthem. I mean, even with even with To Pimp a Butterfly, I mean, All Right was a huge song, but that wasn't like the lead single. Like King mm-hmm. Kunta was the lead single, and that yeah. like the title, we talked about it on the Must Hear Music podcast, yes. like how the title is like a pretty obscure reference, and like he's just kind of he's totally committed to these ideas in a way that's so breathtaking. This at the same time, I think that sometimes the music suffers because of it. And now I'm just rambling about Kendrick Lamar. I'm yeah. sorry, I guess. I think that there are times on this album, just again, like on first listen, there are times on this album where I kind of want that single structure. I think that mm-hmm. makes the song better. I think the songs are some songs like kind of go on a little bit long. They have like parts and diversions that are a little bit unnecessary. But at the same time, like he's so like on top of his craft that you can't even really knock him for it. Like not every single thing works here.
Mm-hmm.
But you have going back full circle to DNA where it is like a sucker punch. It's like a short clip of a song that doesn't really have a hook, and it's just him rapping his ass off. Mm-hmm. And he's so great at it that you just replay it over and over again.
First off, thank you for your detailed thoughts.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about it today. I have.
I was wondering if we should have like the Oscars playoff music and like midway through, I just kind of like get it louder and louder. No, I'm kidding. Of course.
I can't wait until your 5-minute diatribe about Noah Cyrus. That's definitely
get ready for that. Yeah, I want to go actually back to something Lindsay said. I think, yeah, what struck me with this album is there is, especially so I've been a Kendrick fan since Section 80, that mixtape, and with each one there's this real each like project seems to have this huge leap forward in terms of like his musical palette and like artistic like scope and everything. I think artistic scope wise this is a similar leap forward. I would say musical palette wise this is not, compared to like, you know, you go from Section 80 to Good Kid was like a huge musical shift. Good Kid to Pimp a Butterfly was another big shift. This is kind of, as Lindsay was saying, like a little bit like going back more to the basics, to the roots for him. And that's not a bad thing. Like there's nothing wrong with like kind of going to like a more bare bones approach. But that definitely struck me with this. And I think kind of what you're saying, Jason, like that can work, can be to its like maybe benefit and detriment. I think like on DNA, like it definitely works in his favor that we're not going off on any like jazzy excursions, which I mean I adored on To Pimp a Butterfly, but like when it works, you know, when he goes back to like the hard-hitting basics, like that, like you said, is like a sucker punch, like it really hits you. On a couple other songs, you know, maybe it's certainly not bad, it's like not even anywhere near mediocre, like it's far better than, you know, middle of the road, but you know, compared to like genius, it's not quite there. So I think there's a few songs where that fall somewhere between like pretty good and good, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, but that being said, like, we're recording this on Friday. The album just came out. I've only listened to it once. I definitely want to, like, sit with it before I, like, make some sweeping statement on it. I think it's, like, it doesn't have that, like, immediate breathtaking thing that, like, To Pimp a Butterfly did, but it's obviously, like, solid. As like, it's rock solid. Like, it's a great album, and I feel like the more I listen to it, I'll probably like fall in love with the deeper cuts.
You know, just listening to you describe it, and I'm sorry to cut. I just wanted to say one thing. Just listening to you describe it, it kind of actually made me think of how similar his trajectory is to Drake's first three albums, which is, you know, his second album, Take Care, a lot like To Pimp a Butterfly, totally expansive and trying different things, and you know, a little too long, and but that's okay because it was just so inventive. This is almost not going back to basics, but almost sanding off the extra bits and kind of emerging reformed as like this completely like hard hitting artist that has completely established himself. I mean, they're like pseudo nemeses now, but like I do think that there are definitely some comparisons.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I also think, I mean, kind of what you're saying, I love the sanding off description. Yeah. I mean, it also just makes sense for like the times we're in. I mean, he doesn't like, you know, the Trump focus isn't so explicit, but I think it's obviously implied. I mean, certainly like working in like Geraldo Rivera and Fox News like makes it pretty clear like what he's going after, and kind of a lean, mean, you know, like approach like during times like this is maybe more called for than a more you know, kind of like experimental, like artsy, abstract attack. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but let's listen to a little bit of
Wait,
it.
Lindsay, did you have something? I interrupted you.
I was in the middle of saying yeah.
So. Do you want to expand on that? Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I had to say. I'm glad we got that in there. All
right.
Beautiful. All right. Well, let's listen to Kendrick's DNA from the album Damn. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this, immaculate conception. I transformed like this, perform like this. All right, that was new Kendrick. Next up, let's talk. This is one of my picks. It is a song from Power Bottom. The song is called LOL or LOL. If you're not familiar with Power Bottom, if you're Googling it, it is all caps.
If you Google.
If you search it on Bing, if you Bing it, it's PWR space BTTM. They are just an incredible band that I'm a huge fan of. Their second album, Pageant, is coming out next month, I think May 12th.
Yeah.
And I believe this is the third song we've heard from the album. The first one was Big Beautiful Day, which is this great raging punk anthem that kind of targets intolerant people, but it also has a lot of empathy for them, which is just, you know, I mean, it's something rarely usually you have a raging punk anthem, it just attacks someone. It doesn't, like, also try to reach out to them and understand them. So it's a really, you know, complicated and beautiful song. The next one was Answer My Text, which has this sweet, simple, adorable guitar riff. And the song is basically just about, like, boys who won't text you back when you text them. But the new one is LOL, and it's definitely my favorite I've heard thus far. This one, I believe, is mainly Ben's song. So they recorded and sang it on their own. And it is just, like, it's this melancholy rock song, which obviously has been done before, but rarely do you hear it done with this much, I would say, like, emotional nuance. It's this very, you know, for a song called LOL, like, ironically, it's incredibly earnest, it's hard on sleeve, it's emotionally naked. But the great thing about this song, and I think the band in general, is that there's just, it's not emo, it's not sugary, there's no treacle to it. It's earnest, but just very honest and just it is what it is sort of thing. It's not indulgent, it's just very straightforward and confessional and kind of beautiful because of that. It has two really wonderful lyrics. One in particular is, I know that I am naive, when you are queer, you are always 19, which is just kind of, you know, like, cuts you right to the core, just like a heartbreaking lyric. And then the other one is about someone, you know, a friend who you see kind of laughing at you in a mean way, and the lyric is, I didn't know you could take such a shape, which is just one of those, like, interesting, like, turns of phrase, like, it's, you know, you don't expect that, and it's a really interesting, poetic way of putting it. And then the other wonderful thing about the song is that it has this heavenly operatic voice in the background, which is actually provided from Ben's mom. Apparently, their mom is an opera singer, so that's cool, and it sounds fantastic. And this, I just love it. I've listened to it over and over and I can't get enough of it. But what did you guys think of it?
I was going to say what you said. I love that it's titled LOL and it's, I think, their, like, least humorous song.
Yeah.
It's also one of my favorite songs from them. I wasn't big on them at first, but they've grown on me as I've listened to them more and more. But yeah,
you're
stands
like, I'm
out
more into
favorite.
Tops. I'm not such a power bottom gal.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying with this. Mm-hmm. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, just wanted to put that on record.
I'm a power top gal, you know? Mm-hmm, But yes, this is my favorite song from them so far. It makes me more interested to hear what the album will sound like because it is a little diverse from what they've released, the other two singles, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I don't really have much to add after I just went talk for 10 minutes on Kendrick Lamar. No, I agree with you. I honestly, like, they've been getting a ton of buzz. I haven't listened to too much Power Bottom.
Gotta fix that.
Yeah, this is very much up my alley with, like, jangly, like, indie rock. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm all for it. It's a very pretty song, and I have to dive more into the lyrics because it sounds like it's affecting to you, and that's great.
Have you cried to it?
I don't think so. Mm. I know. You guys keep making fun of me for talking about crying on every podcast. So this one,
it's great.
I'm gonna say I'm not crying right now.
All right, nice man.
But
progress.
Who am I kidding? I'm probably gonna the second this podcast ends. I'm very excited for the album to come out. And you should definitely, like you said, they are getting a ton of buzz right now, and I think it's one of those cases where like the buzz is very justified.
Billboard just did a big feature with them.
We did. We had them.
We sat down with them on video, and people should check that.
They have great style, I will say.
Yeah,
incredible style.
And they love glitter.
Who doesn't love glitter?
Right.
But anyways, all right. Well, you know who doesn't love glitter? Actually, is one of the people we're talking about in this podcast, Chris Stapleton. He's not a glitterati.
Nope.
All right. Well, anyways, let's listen to the song. It's Power Bottom. LOL.
I know that I'm always wrong. Laughing at me, we're laughing along. I didn't know you could take such a shape. I know that I'm...
What is the glitterati? I don't know what that is.
It's like the Illuminati, but with glitter.
But fancier, okay.
Yeah, anyway. But a little
they
fancier.
They haven't approached you yet. That's how you know you're not.
Exactly.
Not.
If you have to ask, you don't know. Yeah. You don't get to know.
I'll never know.
All right, let's talk about next up, potential glitterati member, Noah Cyrus. Stay Together. This is a Jason pick.
Yeah.
So, Noah Cyrus.
Interesting song.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting. So, Noah Cyrus, obviously the younger sister of Miley Cyrus. And she put out a song, I think in November, called Make Me Cry, mm-hmm. featuring Labyrinth.
Song didn't make me cry.
It did not.
Did not.
Wow. Yeah. Ironic. But very cool song. Kind of like a buzz track that actually did pretty well in the Hot 100. And now she's going for it. She's preparing a debut album. And Stay Together, which came out today, Friday, is basically like her... you know, swivel toward pop. And it's really interesting. I mean, we were talking about it before taping. It's very Miley core. Like, you could really see this, as I said to Joe, you could see this being a song on Bangers. Like, you could see
the attitude is very Miley.
Yes.
Like, it's not even attitude, it's tude. Like,
yeah.
Apostrophe yep. tude.
And, you know, I think that she will have to figure out her own lane, especially because this song is inevitably going to be getting a ton of comparisons. But at the same time, I think it's a fun song. Like I think that the chorus is big and brash and enjoyable, and you know, I think that some of the like I don't give an F stuff is a little bit forced, but you know, she's figuring it out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't think it's kind of like a breakout moment for her, but it's definitely something noteworthy and like a good playlist hang. That's how I would describe it.
My favorite YouTube comment was that it's simple enough for society. But I can see what they're saying in terms of like the lyrics. They're just reflecting like a night out for her, like plugging your phone into the Uber aux cord and shattering who hasn't been there?
Yeah, exactly.
But because of that, it also kind of reminded me of We Can't Stop, just because they're both like detailing a party in pretty basic form.
Yeah, exactly. What'd you think, Joe?
Yeah, like you said, we were talking about this a little before. I liked this. I think it was... I liked it. I would listen to it again. It did kind of strike me. I was like, I don't fully know... like who this song is for, and that's not, I guess, to its detriment, but it did leave me like creative direction wise for her. I was kind of just like I don't know what like her target audience is. I mean, this sounds a little like business insidery, but I'm just like, she can't, like, her whole thing obviously can't just be like people who like Miley, they'll like me too.
Yeah.
And I think this song a little bit kind of like primes it up for that. That being said, like, it's a very enjoyable song. It's good. She sounds good on it. I definitely had like, you know, just any naturally like you, some, there's a famous person and their siblings like, hey, me too, I can sing or I can act. And everyone, I think, hears that. And then they always like fold their arms and they're like, well, we'll see about that. But like, she genuinely can sing. Like, she has a great voice. And she has a good personality on this song. I just think in terms of like musical direction, they'll have to be more. But, you know, this is only one song. Like, I don't mean to, like, dismiss her outright. Exactly. Like, we haven't heard the album yet.
I think she's still figuring out who she wants to be.
Yeah. And I think it's worth remembering, like, it took Miley a while to figure out what she wanted to be musically, too. I mean, like, I was in a car the other day, actually, driving back from Nutley, New Jersey.
Oh, shout out to Nutley.
Where Mr. Lifschitz resides.
And will one day be the mayor.
Someday. And the person who was driving put on the Miley song, Seven Things I Hate About You.
Perfect song.
And it just reminded me, I was like, I totally forgot that existed. And then I was like, wow, like the person who did this song then would like go on to do like We Can't Stop and Wrecking Ball. And then kind of like would mature, like, you know, to do like that gorgeous Paul Simon 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover thing on SNL. Like, I mean, Miley's taken such a circuitous, like, years long musical route. So like, you know, we should give Noah the same opportunities.
I think that, man, if Noah like just does something along the lines of like Seven Things or See You Again, I would be so thrilled. Let's do it.
I mean, into that too.
I will say I've heard some upcoming Noah Cyrus music, and it is really good. I think it's a little bit more independent of in sound and personality. So I'm excited.
Anything similar to Billy Ray?
No.
All right.
But you had to ask.
I had to know.
Just imagining what that would sound like, and I'm like cringing. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. It's Noah Cyrus. Song's called Stay Together. All right, that was Noah, Miley's younger sis. Let's talk about Lindsay's next pick, which is Chris Stapleton. The song is called Broken Halos, which is such a country name for a song.
Oh,
I love that title.
See, I don't think it's that country. Like, Tennessee Whiskey is more country.
That's true.
Chicken Fried.
I think it's more
country.
A Chris Stapleton, like, title.
It's right.
It's just like you can just picture it. Like, you can picture him singing the words Broken Halos before you actually hear it.
That's
anyway.
Very true.
Yep. Well, yeah, so I'm not a huge country fan at all, but...
And I hate this song.
Yeah, this song does not deserve to be on this one. No. But I love Chris Stapleton, and I think he doesn't have, like, massive crossover appeal in terms of he is country, but I can still listen to it because it's not in-your-face country. And I think that was sort of justified. He was a Album of the Year nominee, which, you know, it says, like, enough people were listening to it. Ended up winning for Country Album of the Year. But, yeah, this song in particular, I'm excited for his new album just because the first one really set the bar high for him. And I like the lyrics of this song, and I like the title of it, which I don't think is crazy country.
I think it's whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're, like, you love rock. And, I mean, this definitely falls towards that, like, excuse for that country rock.
Versus, yeah, and, like, the soulful voice to it, you know? Yeah. So that's what I can get behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's fair. What did you think, Joe?
I was into it. I mean, I, like everyone... Well, I shouldn't say like everyone, but I was one of the many people who was first exposed to him through that Justin Timberlake thing, which was incredible, and then I sought out the album, and I liked the album. This isn't my, like, go-to vein of music, but I thought it was very good. I mean, obviously he has like an astounding voice, like a real, does very interesting things with it and has a great command. And, you know, this is, I guess, I don't want to say more of the same, but it kind of seems like it's like, you know, if you like Traveler, like, here's more stuff that sounds like it. It's a legit song, though. I like the woman on the song. I'm not sure who it is, but that sounds
similar. I think it might be his wife. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
That's cute.
Well, I don't know. Anyways, the harmonizing is very nice. I dug it. Like, if I would not be mad if this was like something that entered in my life, but I will probably not play it multiple times.
A ringing endorsement. I wouldn't be mad.
I wouldn't be furious
if I heard it somewhere in my vicinity.
Exactly.
Well, I think that I sort of agree in when you say that it's a little bit more of the same, but I think that his confidence has really sprung from the first album. I think that listening to the first album and then listening to Broken Halos, I mean, I don't know if you agree, Lindsay, but he just sounds like he's so, like, he was behind his words and his music before on Traveler, yeah. But it sounds like he is just putting himself all out there in a very vulnerable way. And he really believes in the sentiment of this song and these songs that are coming up. So I'm all in. I'm really excited for this album. I'm also not a big country guy, but
Jason's saying this. He's wearing a cowboy hat and boots right now, and the boots have spurs. Every day. So, and this is what he wears every day.
Woody from Toy Story. Is that what you're imagining?
There's a rattlesnake in my boot.
Yeah, that's what I said when I walked in today in New York. No, but. Yeah, I do think that this is going to be a great album, and I think that it's just like he's just so commanding of a presence on the microphone now, and the music kind of backs it up as well. So yeah, Chris Stapleton.
I agree. He totally sells the lyrics, which are already to me pretty impactful. Yeah. So that makes it better.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. So Chris Stapleton, new song "Broken Halos." They've all gone. Wherever they go, broken halos that used to shine, broken halos that used to shine. All right, that was Chris Stapleton, and I guess the next one is Becky Hill. The song is called "Rude Love." And this is a Lipschutz pick.
Oh yeah, so, very very Lipschutz pick. Yeah,
I was not familiar with Becky Hill.
Me
all right, and then, you know what? That's kind of why I picked it.
I liked something new.
Yeah. So Becky Hill is a UK singer songwriter. She was on The Voice UK a couple years ago, and has been dropping singles. I don't think she has an album yet, but she's been dropping singles over the past 2 or 3 years, I would say, and. If you have not heard False Alarm from last year, she made that song with Matoma. That song is amazing, too. But yeah, so she just put out Rude Love a couple weeks ago, and the video dropped this week. And man, I love this song. I just think, like, it's such a good mix of, like, the kind of, like, synth pop of, like, you know, fans of, like, Robin Body Talk would totally get behind this. I think that it kind of swerves into, like, the big, like, drop for the chorus, but I think it actually works here. MNEK, who did Never Forget You with Zara Larsson, produced this one and co-wrote it. And I think, like, I was thinking about, like, I would love to see this kind of become the Never Forget You of 2017. Like, I think it could. Like, it's a very catchy song. It's very, like... Like, it seems like kind of the tempo of U.S. radio.
Yes.
It's just kind of starting out. I think it'll maybe be one of those songs that just takes months to build over here. But it's doing pretty well overseas, so.
It's really catchy, and I like her voice a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you're overselling a little bit. I don't know if the hook is that strong.
Oh, so good.
I agree.
Wow.
I like this. Like, this is one, like I said, I didn't know her. I put it on and I was like, oh, this is, like, legit. I like this. She's very, I mean, you know, great vocals. It's a solid song. I'm into it. But, Lindsay, you seem a little less enthused.
Just a little. I don't know.
Over the hill? Oh, my God.
Get out.
I know.
All right, Joe. Yeah. See you later.
I don't know. We talked about it with Khalid where, like, he was entering sort of an oversaturated market but did something so compelling to stand out. I feel like synth-driven dance pop is sort of the same, but this doesn't do much to stand out, in my opinion.
Okay.
I just didn't love it. But I did some digging on her, and I actually found that because I do like her voice, she has, like, this acoustic version of her song Warm, and that's an amazing song. And I watched her voice audition. I went way back.
Wow.
And she did Ordinary People, which was so good.
Yes. Yeah,
I just feel like if she, like, almost stuck in the lane of singer-songwriter, which is what she's still described as, even though I don't think that's what she is anymore, I think I would like her more.
Wow. Well,
so I know she's listening. You know what, I'm giving really great advice.
There's a Becky Hill for all of us. You have the singer-songwriter stripped-down stuff, and I love the big, brash...
Something for everyone in the family.
Yeah.
Thanks, Becky.
So true. And then we have...
Jessie J was her X Factor coach, right?
Sure was. That's nice. True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out Jessie J.
Shout out to Jessie J.
all right. Well, should we give it a spin?
Yeah, Rude Love.
All right.
Let's do it.
Rude Love, Becky Hill. So that was Becky Hill. Now, any relation to Hank and Bobby Hill, or what's...
I don't know. I don't think so.
That didn't come up in my research.
Yeah, okay. Didn't think so. all right, this is the last song that we're doing. It is one of my picks. It is by Wisconsin singer-songwriter Trapper Shep, and the song, if you couldn't guess, he's from Wisconsin. The song is called On Wisconsin. I thought this was just like a really like cool, fun little thing. So recently... these lyrics that Bob Dylan wrote, let me rewind a little bit. So before he became like, his own, like very distinct, like singer songwriter with all these like political and introspective songs, Bob Dylan went through a pretty, I guess, long-ish period in his early days where he was more or less just like doing his own version of like Woody Guthrie songs,
yeah.
Which are these very like kind of like goofy, tongue-in-cheek, like I'm walking around with my guitar and, you know, like just kind of like stream of consciousness, like throwback folk stuff. And this was early 60s, and even then at the time it was like 20 years throwback. So recently from that period, someone uncovered, he wrote these lyrics about Wisconsin that are very like, you know, just like goofy, you know, it's just like, oh, there's cows and I'll live on the cream and the milk and the cheese of the land and shit like that. So it's a very like, it's a fun little like discovery for, you know, Bob Dylan freaks or people from the Midwest. I'm originally from Minnesota, but I went to school at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So that's my Wisco connection.
Wait, is that the one with that's like the beavers or is that
the Badgers?
The Badgers. And Jesus. When I asked you about that, Joe, when I was an intern here, you told me I don't like sports, but you knew it was the Badgers.
I'm aware I don't do sports, but I'm aware that the college I went to for 4 years, that
the Badgers
are
their
team.
Was our first interaction, so
right.
Wow,
that's really really great.
Aww.
Yeah,
flashback Friday.
Yeah, speaking of tears, yeah, that, yeah,
I'm
that
crying
set you
right
off.
Now
anyway so these Bob Dylan lyrics recently uncovered, Trapper Shep, Wisconsin singer-songwriter, put those lyrics to kind of a folky rock version of the Badger fight song. And it's just like I think an awesome, just like fun thing to do. And it happened, and I like it. All right.
Let's listen to it, I guess.
Oh, yeah, let's listen to it. So, On Wisconsin, Trapper Shep.
I'm headed to Wisconsin, 2,000 miles to go. Madison, Milwaukee. Since my heart ain't low, I'm a coming to that state and my heart's beating fast and I'll jerk my banjo gently.
All right, that is all we got for this week's Mustard Music Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you got any thoughts about stuff we did, tweet at us. Let us know what to talk about next week.
I don't really have a tease for next week.
What are the albums coming out? I mean,
there's a couple. But I will say, you know,
is Feist coming out next week? Maybe we'll talk about that.
No,
2 weeks.
Sorry, man. Oh, I'm not going to be here next week. I forgot.
What?
Oh.
Sorry, guys.
Well, that's the tease.
Well, here's
we'll
the
have to replace you.
Yeah. But I will say, if we want to talk for a second about the podcast family here at Billboard.
Sure, let's talk about it. Do you want to talk about it?
Well, yeah. Well, so Must Hear Music's part of its own feed, of course, but also the Pop Shop feed, which it has been for a couple months. But we're also just added a new show. Senior associate editor Andrew Unterberger just started Coming Around Again.
Mm-hmm.
Coming Back Around? Coming Around Again.
Coming Around Again.
Coming Around Again. Yeah, I got it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about nostalgia and anniversaries, and it's so much fun. He just launched it this past week with Third Eye Blind and the Chemical Brothers. You know you're already listening to Pop Shop Podcast with Keith and Katie, and we've been doing this every week, which is lovely.
Yeah.
And so subscribe to the Pop Shop feed and the Must Hear Music feed. Whatever you like.
And if you like listening to my voice, I don't know why you would, but I am on Andrew Unterberger's debut.
Oh, no way. I didn't know
podcast.
That.
Yeah, so
I gotta listen.
Double feature.
It like just went up, right?
Double dose of Lynch this week. Do you talk
about Trapper Shep?
I don't.
not on that one.
He,
oh, you saved that for us. Okay, thanks, guys.
Gil Kaufman, one of our wonderful, wonderful writers, talks about Third Eye Blind, and I talk about the Chemical Brothers' Dig Your Own Hole, which
oh, cool,
was
man.
An album I loved very much in high
school.
Well, now you do. And you can find out more on the Coming Around Again podcast.
Yeah, take a listen. I have not listened yet. Just went up when we were taping this, but I can't wait. And Pop Shop's always doing their thing too. They've had some cool guests as well.
Oh, for sure.
So there you go.
All right, cool. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
See Without ya. Me.
Bye.